Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, welcome to Business Solutions Radio, sponsored by Conscious Capitalism Arizona, where our theme is, It's Just Good Business. The purpose of this show is to highlight conscious businesses in Arizona that offer solutions to a wide range of challenges that faced by business owners. I'm your host, John Deiter. My company is John Deiter Solutions. I work with business owners and their leadership teams to teach, facilitate, and coach them on the implementation of the Entrepreneurial Operating System, or EOS. This is based on the book Traction by Gino Wickman, and it really fills my passion for helping business owners get all they want from their business. And just a bit more about our sponsor, Conscious Capitalism Arizona. As I search for great guests for the show, I'm looking to invite what I would call conscious business leaders. They may or may not know about the Conscious Capitalism movement or the Conscious Capitalism Arizona chapter, at least not yet, and may not even consider themselves as knowingly following the four pillars of conscious capitalism, but they all embody the theme of our show, being it's just good business. And I look forward to shining a bright light on these businesses. So without further ado, my guest today is Kathleen Gramsey. Her company is Kinesage LLC. Kathleen's a 17-year board-certified massage therapist, author, speaker, wellness educator, and is the developer and continuing education provider of Kinesage Self-Care. Her lifelong passion for movement, understanding the human body, and personal challenges created the conditions that brought Kinesage into being. Has an engaging knack for simplifying and sharing how the body mind works and how you can partner with it, not just for greater physical health, but to live a more joyful life. She does interactive lessons from the body and mind, speaking presentations that serve as a platform for stress relief and experiential team building across the spectrum of industries from architectural, financial services to healthcare, sales, and manufacturing. Pretty interesting, Kathleen. So welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
glad to have you here. I've had a number of businesses on the show that are a little more familiar to business owners, bankers, and CFO services and salespeople. This one is very interesting to me because it really kind of stretches my mind as to how this, what you do, can be a solution for business owners. Why don't you start, just share a little bit what is Kinesage and how did it come into being?
Okay. Kinesage is, so you've heard the concept that necessity is a mother of invention.
Right.
Well, that's what Kinesage is.
Okay.
Kinesage is a term I coined, which means Kinesage, so kinesiology is movement.
Okay.
So movement as massage. So originally, I became a massage therapist in 1999, and a year later, I went at it full force. So I literally started working in my practice. I worked a couple days, double days at the Ritz-Carlton. I was the therapist at DC Ranch Country Club, and I was also on call at the Royal Palms.
Wow.
Yeah.
When you were at the Ritz, I also understand you were working with sports teams that were staying there. So,
yeah, that was actually my main interest in working there was I had gotten out of school. I was a deep tissue therapist, and I thought, where better to get experience than being able to literally work on all the professional sports teams?
Yeah, wow.
So it was great experience for sure.
Yeah,
it was also, everybody loved the work I did, except my body didn't love the work I did.
That's hard work.
Oh, man. Those linebackers, they would come in and it was like, I booked an hour. I'm thinking, I'm looking at a 350-pound linebacker. I'm thinking, what part do you want me to focus on? Because there's no way I'm covering all the terrain, right?
Wow.
So I literally, a year later, from working 7 days a week and that kind of, at that kind of pace and force, my body started to accumulate chronic tension and pain. So my neck was hurting me, my back was hurting, my wrists were hurting me. And literally, it came to, I had to figure out a smarter way to work or I was done, frankly.
Yeah.
And the lens that I see through naturally is movement. And I had studied anatomy and kinesiology, and I then taught it, both of them as well. And I just had the sense that if I could use the body's design for movement instead of force, that maybe I could continue to work and do what I loved. So I became my own experiment. I started working and clearing out my pain and tension. And then I said, okay, that worked for me. Now, how do I make it into a method of massage that's kinder and more effective for me and my clients? Because I don't know about you, but I think massage should feel good. I don't want to get beat up to tell me I'm going to feel better 3 days later.
So, when I stop, it's going to feel good.
You
put your head on the wall and say, but it feels so good when I stop.
Right, exactly. So what I did was I did make it into a method of massage that I called Kinesage Massage Through Movement. And it uses physics. So it uses body's design for movement instead of force. Basically, it's using movement in the nervous system. Once I had that in my practice, and then I created anatomy shorthand. This was a big deal because these sports teams, how am I going to cover all that terrain, right? So what I did was I figured out how to work on multiple muscles at the same time and then work progressively through all the layers so that I worked faster. I could work systematically through the body much quicker to clear everything out. So once I had those pieces together, I had great results in my practice, and all my results were getting just really good. And so I went to a massage conference, and it was a few years later, and everybody's talking, oh my God, my wrist hurt, my back hurts. And I'm thinking, you know, my body doesn't hurt anymore. And then I thought, well, I know why it doesn't hurt anymore, because I'm working smarter. And so that led me to say, I call it like a universal tap, like on my shoulder saying, this isn't just for you and your clients.
Right.
So I was like, all right, let me figure this out. So I sat on my couch for a couple years at night after I get off work, and I wrote out all the curriculum that I had figured out, and then became a national continuing education provider so I could teach it to occupational, physical, and massage therapists.
Wow.
Yeah. So I did that for 2008 to 2015. I did both businesses. I did my practice for 6 days a week, and then I would go teach on the weekends. And it was really something because then I could help a lot of people. I also had one other little problem, which was a chronic back problem. And that would show up about every 5 years. So in 2003, it was my first vacation I was taking in 4 years. And so I could feel my back trying to go out because I had worked on 30 people that week. And so I was like, no, you're not going out. You're not. So I went to the chiropractor in the morning and I got in my little Celica with the bucket seats, drove the 15 minutes home. And as I went to get out of my car, my back wrenched. And literally it was now out. And so I crawled up the stairs to my apartment. I got to ride backwards, kneeling backwards in my friend's car to the airport in a wheelchair to the plane.
Oh my goodness.
And then I got to have the experience of what it's like to be stuck in a coach seat with my back in spasm for 15 hours on the ride to Sydney, Australia.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I said, this will never happen again.
My back hurts just thinking about that.
And it was out for its usual 5 days, but I said, this is never going to happen again. And so what I did when I came home was figured out that last piece, which is why did my body do that every 5 years? Why do people have, you know, chronic back problems or chronic things that they seem to go away, but then they come back when you go to pick up a pencil or do something silly that you're like, what? What happened?
Yeah.
So that's what led me to finally find the final piece.
Yeah, that's interesting. So up to that point, you had worked with individuals primarily, you know, the sports figures and, you know, the athletes and so forth. Has this evolved to where you're now offering this to businesses as a employee kind of a thing to help employees, or how have you switched around to be doing that?
That's a universal kind of thing too, because I was in real estate development here prior to becoming a massage therapist in Phoenix. And so for 14 years, I was in the real estate development business. So I worked in corporate America.
Right.
So the irony was I left and, you know, I had this 18-year career in the massage world. And then in 2015, it really started to hit my radar, the opioid addiction epidemic.
Okay.
And that's another universal tap. It just kept tapping on my shoulder like this needs to be for everybody. Everybody got a vehicle. Nobody got the manual. You could write one. So it was like, well, how do I take everything that I figured out and proved with thousands of clients and hundreds of therapists? Because I also taught therapists. So I could do it and it worked for my clients. Therapists could do it on themselves, but how could an average person who knows nothing about how their body works, how could they do it?
Right.
So what I did was then figured out the next adventure, which was how do I take this and put it into a virtual system? So I wrote my book, Release Your Pain, Expand Your Life.
Okay.
And that's the first part because it's like an owner's manual for your body mind. It explains how it works and how to partner with it. And then it's paired with 6 segments of videos of the movements that I created and proved in those 18 years, which basically you follow them and your nervous system, it's like dominoes for the body. It releases chronic tension, which is the underlying cause of most musculoskeletal disorders. it releases it head to toe, skin all the way down through the deep muscles and fascia. So that little that anatomy shorthand that I created, people are using it. They don't know it. They're just putting their hands in certain places and doing gentle movement, but their nervous system is following it. So that is how people can release their own sciatica or their own carpal tunnel or their own plantar fasciitis or anything that's a soft tissue issue, which means it's not arthritis. It's not a spine condition, like a bone spine thing, but soft tissue, which is your tendons, your ligaments, your connective tissue, your muscles, skin, all of those aspects are pliable and can be cleared and can be reset. Your muscles can all be reset so that you have normal function. So that if you have if we're like a marionette puppet, we have muscle groups on all four sides of the joint. What happens for people is that say you get this pattern, how you sleep or how you drive or how you work, or maybe it's from that, in my case, it was high school. It was what I did in high school and I had this pattern in my low back. So one side is tight, but you don't know it's tight. You can't feel that it's tight. Your nervous system isn't aware that it's not functioning properly.
Right.
So now the other three, you get a skew instead of that force coming straight through the middle of the joint like it's designed to. Now it's wearing on the left a little bit. And so pretty soon you notice, oh, I got tendonitis or a meniscus or my cartilage is wearing. Well, it happens because that force that's meant to move straight through the center is not happening, right? It's skewed.
Yeah, yeah.
So what this does is it resets normal tension in all of the muscles and it brings awareness back to your body and to your nervous system about what normal tension is. And so that was what I did. I put it into a virtual system and then I thought, how can I help the most people? And when I thought of it, it naturally was business because we're sedentary in business, right? Most people in their jobs are sedentary, which is a big issue of why people have all kinds of stuff. And then also, it's also where it can impact the most people relative to not only the individuals, but as a society as a whole. Because when you can positively influence business, we can positively influence society.
Right. I'm going to have to throw in our conscious capitalism pillars, the one of a conscious culture, and even stakeholder orientation. Both of those are involved with the employees and how important it is for them to be engaged, to understand the higher purpose. And when you care about your people, naturally should include, are they healthy? Are they healthy at work? Are we doing something that's making them worse off physically in our work environment and those kinds of things? So I think there's a real connection here with the conscious capitalism from the perspective of how you help employees in a business. Being a former, I used to be in management in a number of companies, and early on, this was really not even part of our language, right?
Right.
I said, come on, we got our job to do. If it takes forever, you got to get it done. And that was the era of command and control and getting stuff done. And I've gone 180 degrees the other way now and realized that this holistic kind of an approach to employee wellness and the balance of their personal life definitely and their physical life really is impacted by what you do at work and needs to be part of that. So you're taking this to employers as a way to help their employees? Are you doing that kind of a thing with this virtual online or with your speaking at companies? Or how are you helping companies in this case?
Well, it's this really is, and like the amalgamation of all my experience in education and my previous businesses and really what it is, it is speaking to that holistic aspect. So the people, the companies that really get this, they are the conscious companies. They are the conscious ones who get that if their people are in pain or distracted, whether mentally or physically, they're not there. They might be in their bodies sitting at their desk, but they're not there.
Not engaged. Not mentally,
certainly not engaged.
And if there's some pain going on, they're thinking more about that.
Right. Yeah. And so really when you talk about that holistic perspective, everything really is holistic. You can't separate anything. I don't care what subject you're talking about. If you're talking about business, if you're talking about people, if you're talking about the planet, everything is holistic because everything everything affects everything else. There is no, nothing is in a vacuum.
Right.
So the reason why I wanted, that's why I wanted to come and work with businesses, because businesses are great. You know, there's been a lot of business studies. There's a zillion books on business, right? All these great things, you know, right? Traction. I mean, right. Great book, great book. There's lots of processes that people understand. Okay, I'm in business. And if I want to get these objectives done, I follow these processes. But when it comes to the body and the body mind, that's a whole foreign concept, because unless you've studied it, why would you even know it? How could you know it?
Right.
So what I saw was I had the opportunity to bring all my years of experience and bring it to the average person. So I do live trainings. I do live trainings as well as have the virtual system for subscription for companies. Mm-hmm. And then because I feel literally that everybody deserves to understand the body that they're, the vehicle that they're living in, then it's available to the public too on my website, because it's, everybody got one and everybody deserves to know how to partner with it. And because the two things that affect us more than anything else in our lives is our body and money. Those are those two factors. And even though you could have all the money in the world, and if your body's not working right, you're not really caring about how much money you have.
Right, right. Doesn't matter.
So when it comes down to it, the most important thing we have is our body. But most people don't know that the body has skills and assets that the mind doesn't even know about. In the sense of, it's got gifts. We've been conditioned. Like, you go back to Descartes, right? The guy who said, I think, therefore I am. If he would have said, I feel, therefore I am, it would have been a different program. And if he would have said, I am, therefore I think and feel, it would have really been a whole different paradigm. But from that conditioning, we've been, you know, the mind's in charge. The mind is superior to the body. Let's just forget about the body. Anything below my neck, I don't really care about it unless it's carrying around my mind.
Right.
And I'm going to ignore it until it starts yelling at me through pain or starts being inconvenient or doesn't look like it used to look. Then I'm going to get mad at it and think it betrays me. Right. There's all this judgment about the body, and we've been conditioned that it's not really valuable, you know, until, you know, something goes wrong with it and then we get mad.
Yeah. Well, you hear sports figures that you see them be injured or get hit on a Sunday play or something. And, you know, they get back up, and I played football in high school and a year in college, and twisted my ankle, and you know, the attitude was, you know, let's tape it up.
Toughen up.
You just got to toughen up. You got to get out there and, you know, take care of business. And that's the way it has been. And now with whatever the treatment is, there's drug treatment, or, you know, zap it with the cold, or whatever it is to numb it and get out and play. But even as individuals, I think we look at going to the doctor for, okay, well, what can you give me for this? What pill can you give me for this, that, or the other thing? And that just builds up until it does become something. You need something more powerful, and all of a sudden you get addicted to something.
So, yeah. Well, and to your point, that conditioning is the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing. Because just like a fish is not aware of the water it swims in because it's just what it knows. Like, it's been there all the time. It doesn't know any different. That's how we are with our healthcare system. It's been a system that is predicated on prescriptions and surgery.
Right.
Right? That's been the primary answer for everything. And it's been a very profitable system for those who it's meant to serve. It's not really that effective for the people, the users of it. Right? Or, I mean, if you look at the actual numbers on successful back surgeries, not so much. Mm. People have a ton of them. There's a zillion done, but they're not necessarily actually effective. So we have all this chronic surgery is great for acute issues. You know, it has certainly medication and surgery has their place. If I needed it, if I had a big hole in my body, I would want somebody to sew it up for sure.
Right.
I wouldn't say, well, let me give it a while to, you know, put something on top of it and see if it's going to heal.
Right.
But that is not what chronic, that's not chronic issues. What it's not great for are chronic issues. And you look and see what is going on with chronic pain, and you look and see the amount of prescriptions and the opioid epidemic and how that has all transpired. As a result of that, it comes from this conditioning that the process is you go to the doc, you get a prescription, you do whatever other therapy, whether that's physical therapy or whatever other therapy they tell you to do, right? You get the brace, you do whatever. And then if that doesn't work, you get surgery. And then you get more drugs. And, you know, so you can recoup and then you get more therapy to rehab. And it's not saying again that those things don't have merit where they're appropriate, yeah. but that's the whole, like, that's the plan
that, yeah.
that has been the plan. This is how we do it. Well, that isn't, that is not respectful of really what the body is capable of if you only know how to tap into it.
So as you're trying to approach businesses, I understand that's kind of where you're trying to build out as well. But business owners, this is kind of new to them, right? So how are you convincing them that not a lot of people are familiar with, I mean, you invented this, right?
Exactly,
So it's getting the message out. It probably isn't commonly accepted or maybe looked upon. Okay, what's really going on here? How are you tackling that with business owners?
Well, the first thing, of course, is education. So it is new. I mean, I launched it 2 years ago, May. So it's, I've been working with companies since then and organizations. So what makes this really different is that we're used to evaluating things by thinking, right? You're going to see a proposal. Somebody's going to come bring you a training service, say, for example. Okay.
That's a really good point. I'm a high fact finder on
your index. I get
my Colby index. Yep. So I'm going to ask more questions. I want to learn and I want to think it through. Yeah.
Yes. So, and I understand that. And I'm a quick start. So not surprising that I would start something and nothing else was, you know, it's new. It's invented.
And you've taken it this far.
Yeah. In fact, I actually spoke at Colby at their conference.
You? Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I used my index to describe how I developed Kinesage.
Oh,
yeah, it was cool. It was cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, but for people who do need information, of course they do. It's if something is different, right? You need to be able to explain to it, but it's not through thinking. So the way that I demonstrate to people what Kinesage is, which is using, you're doing it yourself. You're using movement and your nervous system. So you're having like a call and response. Okay. So you put your, say, if you have a headache, you're going to put your fingers in certain positions and on the back of your head, and then you're going to use movement, and then you're going to wait, and the nervous system's going to let you in, and you're going to work deeper. So I have this anatomy shorthand. So again, you don't have to worry about it. You just follow it. But what happens is that we've also been conditioned to believe that we have to, we're used to, when we have some therapy, there's usually it hurts first and it's going to feel better later, like we talked about, right? Or there's a noise. Chiropractic, you go, you get cracked, right? Okay, I'm adjusted, I'm better, right? There's this correlation between some kind of noise or pain first, and that's going to feel better.
Okay.
Well, when the body lets go of tension, there is no pain and there is no noise. And in fact, the idea is you're as kind to yourself as possible, because the nervous system is actually so acute that it takes an information through your fingertips that is so sensitive that the lighter touch you use, and if you hold, say you're holding your own wrist, the lighter touch you use, the more information you take in. And so what I do is have people experience. We do, so how you can test it to see if it works is to do a range of motion. So you see, what's your normal range of motion? How can I turn my head to the left and right the same? Can I, you know, drop my chin, put my head back? You do the movement and then you do the range of motion again, and you see immediately how much less pain you have and how much more range of motion you have. So it is this process that's all scientifically based. I'm a science geek. While I'm a massage therapist and I have the spiritual perspective and the holistic and the very, as some people say, woo-woo, I'm a science girl. In fact, I got up and I did a presentation I spoke at the Arizona Fire Chiefs Conference two months ago, August, I think. And there is nobody that is more linear than people who save people for a living, right?
Right. Wow.
So I got up and explained to them how the nervous system worked and how you can use it to reset the nervous system out of trauma. So out of anxiety or overwhelm, and how to help people go back into rest and restoration, which is also the other piece that I do with companies, right? Because if you're not physically, if you have physical pain, you can't focus. And if you are in anxiety or overwhelm, your brain is not, it literally, your nervous system has switched it for emergency, which means that you're not capable of higher thinking. You're not capable of decision making. You're not capable of calm, clear thought processes. So that was my way of coming and saying, okay, well, how can I take all this information and now bring it into organizations? So when they experience it literally instantly, there is an understanding because you learn it in your body. It's not intellectual. It's not something you can evaluate on a piece of paper. Oh, that you feel it in your body. And when you feel it and you have the difference, you're like, I get it.
Yeah.
So I do demonstrations. I go in and then I do the speaking presentations that I do are often more on how this applies to the other aspects of business that are so important. So, you know, sales trainings or communication, all the aspects that when you look underneath it, everything that we try to, that we want to do in business, whether that is working with our clients or customers, or it's collaboration with coworkers,
right?
Or it's a being more effective communication with your leadership or whatever it is, that all comes down to how present you are in your body. And so when you can teach people that skill, and then you can teach them how to release their chronic pain and tension so they can even be more present, that underlies everything that we do as a human being. So where are you focusing your attention? Is that on your, so you can do it, be the best of who you are at your job and in your business or running your business?
Right.
And then also when you come home now, you can actually be more present with your family.
Right.
Like how valuable is that?
Right. You're just taking that layer of stress or pain or whatever away. And you're thinking about the situation you're in, the people you're with, and being able to pay attention to them better.
So, exactly.
Present, as we say.
Exactly. Yeah. So for companies, what I find is that the companies and the business owners that are most like who get it are the ones who are on that leading edge or they're self-funded. So companies who have, that's the other thing with workers' comp costs, right? With workers' comp, you put money away and you have insurance, and companies, that's kind of like this, you're talking about how is this different? Companies in that conditioning are used to, they get paid for once, so it's after the accident, it's after the disease, it's paid for after the fact, right? That's when it gets paid for. Prevention has not been funded because it's not supporting the current model. So there's a lot of barriers to it being covered. There's a lot of challenges and hoops that people have to go through when they say, you know what, actually, I want to provide other things. I want to provide prevention because I can see when I teach people or when they learn and it's the underlying conditions, the underlying causes that promote or that bring about cardiac or respiratory stuff like diet and exercise. Right. This is for musculoskeletal. So this is a self-care program for musculoskeletal disorders. I mean, there's never even been anything like that the average person. So being able to come to companies and show them that, so for companies that are self-funded, they have a monetary incentive. If you're not self-funded, you don't get that benefit if you save, right? You're still paying the same premiums. The only thing is maybe you have less claims, which now your EMOT score doesn't get messed up and it's not a multiple year punitive damage.
Right.
But it's getting to, and this is why I work with conscious companies, because they get the underlying factor of the long-term effect of when people are healthier and more productive and more present. They know it goes to their bottom line, even if they have to, fight the waters of the current system. For example, sure. I was working with one of the fire departments and they were like, great, I have money. I just need to get in their insurance program, they have dollars, allocated that they can do for programs, for prevention programs. And so he went to the company and said, okay, we're going to do this program. Now, firefighters have second to police officers, the highest workers' comp claims, not surprisingly, right? Their insurance company, now they pay a boatload of premium in workers' comp costs, not surprisingly.
Right.
Their carrier would not approve them using the dollars that are in their contract that they are already contracted to be able to use. They would not approve them for them to use it.
Really?
Yeah, they're still fighting it.
Oh my gosh.
So it's a lot for the HR folks to deal with. Right. And then the irony about that is the stress, right? So the HR people are extraordinary. I mean, they are the caregivers of business, in my opinion. They really are. They're amazing. And yet, part of what you're saying, those barriers, like why when people aren't open, they are so fried from handling and doing all the hoops that they have to do with open enrollment and this and that, that when they come and they hear a new program that sounds amazing, but they got to jump through six more hoops, you know, sometimes it's just easier to just give out water bottles.
There's a barrier there.
You know, and it's stress because they literally don't have the capacity to handle it because they're in overwhelm.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I totally get it. And when you say self-funded, our targets, being from the finance functions and so forth, we were self-insured when it came to the healthcare costs. So there's a stopgap policy, and you pay actual claims, and there's some reserves there. But the money that you save from doing that, if you save in claims, that's money that stays with you.
Correct.
So what a business does then is invest some money to reduce their claims. And if there's a process like yours that has proven to be able to do that, then they realize the really long-term benefit from having lower claims and not utilizing their own funds to pay those claims.
Exactly.
So that self-insured program from companies, well, you don't have to be real large to be self-insured like that. So I'll have to remember to think about that as I'm talking out there in the business community for folks that are self-insured to talk to you about that.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that'd be a great idea.
Yeah, it's important. I mean, if they're doing all the work to save, I mean, really to benefit, to improve the quality and care of their employees, they certainly deserve to benefit on the bottom line from that.
Right.
In addition to the additional benefits that they see through productivity and less absenteeism.
Right. And generally, the people that are self-insuring the healthcare, and even the workers' comp realize that hey, they've already committed in their minds probably. And we had a program with the company I was with back in Chicago where we were self-insured and we didn't do too much other than stay focused on safety, and it was more factory related at that point. But this could definitely save some funds if they're of that mindset of self-insured. Okay, we're doing this. We think we can save money on claims. We don't have the kinds of claims that should be paying high premiums on. So let's realize some benefit there and spend a little money to make sure that happens.
Yes.
Lower claims.
Yep. And then also, like you said, on the safety side. So even if for companies who they might not have a wellness budget per se, but they have a safety budget, certainly when you can teach people to release chronic muscular pain and tension, they are less likely to have accidents. They're more mindful. They're more able to have more capacity to work. So it also helps on the safety side.
Right. Yeah, we had, I was with a company that manufactured plumbing fixtures. And there were a lot of lifting, bending, stretching involved in those things, and a lot of workers' comp kinds of claims. And this kind of a thing could have helped them. And many of those, I think they were all men actually, but many of the guys were there for a long period of time. And like you say, you get used to doing things a certain way. And, you know, they come away injured, you know, injured and as well as just changed.
So. Yes. And it's those repetitive things, right? I mean, in companies in terms of that are more, for those that are office related, they've gotten better with ergonomics and those kinds of things. But just by virtue of the fact that people are sitting all day, they make some benefits are, you know, the stand up desk, that's helpful. Right. But again, it's changing the pattern that your body doesn't know it's living, right? It's being able to bring back what a normal pattern is into your body so that it's kind of like if you think of like a rubber band. And if you think of a rubber band and you stretch it out halfway, okay, so you really only have half of that capacity left of that rubber band to stretch, right? Mm-hmm. So what happens is through chronic tension, you lose half of the capacity, if you want to say half or a portion of the capacity, which, you know, whatever we're specifically talking about. Okay. So what happens is that is now not functioning to full capacity. You only have a portion, but you don't know that. So then you go to do whatever you're going to do. Maybe you're going to tie your shoes. Maybe you're going to twist and lift something. But that is why sprains and strains occur, because the capacity of the muscle is not available, the whole capacity. There's only a limited, but you don't know that.
Right.
And so this brings back what normal capacity is. It brings back awareness so that the muscle can function completely. And that is a big strains, sprains, and tears are the, according to the Department of Labor statistics, is the biggest reasons, the two biggest reasons why people, 74% of the reasons why people are out of work, that lose, wow, that lost productivity or lost days, is sprains, strains, and tears. And that's soft tissue. So out of the $874 billion that musculoskeletal disorders cost us, $520 billion is soft tissue, which is actually good news because you can change that. You can affect it. You know, you're not going to change someone's arthritis. You're not going to change, other than surgery. You're not going to go make a hole in their vertebra or between their vertebra bigger without some kind of intervention in that way. But soft tissue is pliable. It's movable. It's resettable, if you will.
Right.
If that's even a word, resettable.
Resettable, sure. I knew what you meant. I used to work with a guy that would make up words that you exactly knew exactly what he was talking about. He was in the sales function. He'd work, make up words. And yeah, I knew that, Jerry. Okay. We wouldn't call him to the dictionary, though, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No Scrabble.
No points for that.
No points for Scrabble.
For sure. You've mentioned a couple of times the layers of tissue. That's kind of, again, I've been active and athletic and so forth. And I think about muscles. I think about tendons, other layers. What other layers are there? I'm this is a science geek in me kind of asking about this, I guess.
Cool. Well, I'm a science geek, so I'm happy to share. So have you ever cut a grapefruit in half?
Yeah.
Okay. So when you look at a grapefruit, you can see that it's got the skin. And then those little spokes, like the little wheels membranes, where you cut the little section, right? The membranes, and you have all your little sections of the fruit. And then even within each of those sections, they have little morsels of fruit, if you really look close.
Right.
That is all wrapped in membrane, which in our body is called fascia.
Okay.
Okay. So fascia is really the, in my opinion, it's the most important system in the body because everything lives inside of it. So it connects us head to toe, and so everything is wrapped in fascia from your smallest little muscle fibers that wraps multiple muscle fibers. It's within the muscles. It becomes the tendon. And then have you ever cut a piece of chicken?
Right.
So under the skin, you see that white kind of slimy, slippery stuff? That's fascia.
Okay.
So it's meant to slide and glide so muscles can move correctly, so we have full range of motion. And what happens over time is it gets stuck down more like shrink wrap. Hmm. So as we age, what happens, it gets more dehydrated. We become the patterns we always do. So for example, how you sit or how you drive or how you sleep, those patterns, your body gets used to those patterns. So if you think about and pretty much everything we do, our arms are in front of us. So everything's folded forward. When you're sitting at a computer, your neck is out. Your shoulders are forward. So you're like got turtle shoulders.
When you got glasses like mine, your head's up.
Your head's up, holding your glasses
to
up.
To get the right dimension in there.
Yep. Right. So that's affecting your neck. And so those patterns, what happens is that connective tissue starts to shrink down and solidify. Gets like Jell-O can be either set hard, or if you add heat to it, it melts,
right?
So it's the same concept. So what happens is we have little sensor nerves in throughout our body. They're called nociceptors. And what they are is their job is to tell the brain something is either about to have some problems, have some issue, or it's either causing a problem or about to cause something. So it sends a signal to the brain that we register as pain. So a lot of what people recognize as pain signals is really fascia that is stuck down, because fascia can put 2,000 pounds of pressure per square inch. So when your fascia gets stuck down, that is a lot of force that can put pressure. So if you think about it, it's on nerves. So all your nerves, all your arteries, all your veins, all of your organs, all of your muscles, all of your bones, everything is in some type of fascia. So when you help to release the fascia and you bring, so the reason why massage works and why people feel so much better after massage is it's working from the skin through the subcutaneous tissue, through all the layers and helping to bring in fluid, so lymphatic fluid to help flush the toxins out. It helps increase circulation. So that's why massage helps all of the systems directly or indirectly. What this is in essence, it is a combination of self-massage with, I call it turbo stretching.
Okay.
And the reason why I call it that is because when we stretch, we're using the tendons to adjust the muscle length, muscle fiber length. Mm-hmm. When with this anatomy shorthand, it's actually using all of the sensors in the body to use them all at one time. So it's like you're getting, I call them like a fiver. You're getting five benefits for one. So that you can do, instead of just stretching, you can do one movement of kinesage, and that it will, you know, it'll take out a cramp, or it'll it'll reset that muscle immediately to be able to continue running for whatever. I run steps, so, you know, I've had it where, like, my, I don't even know if it was, it's a muscle called a psoas muscle deep in your abdomen.
Yeah.
And so it pulls down on the inside of your leg, on the inside of your leg joint. So I could feel it tighten up. I just did one movement and just kept running my thousand steps.
Thousand steps. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Running. Yeah. I used to be a runner too, even though I'm a little bit on the heavy side. That was one of my goals, was to run a marathon. So I did a Chicago marathon a number of years ago.
Wow.
I can't say I ran the whole thing, but I did finish it. And interestingly enough, about the 10 miles, I was going to run the first half, and then kind of I trained to walk run from there in. But at 10 miles, I just took a break, stopped, drank some water, went down to stretch, and my back just seized up. Mm. If I'd have known this, I might have been able to saw. I had a guy come up behind me and say, "Oh, man, did you pull your back?" I said, "Yeah." He reached down in his sock. He had a tube of Bengay. He says, "I have this with me all the time. I run multiple marathons." So he gave me a couple of handfuls of Bengay. I rubbed it on there and just kind of walked from there, walked and ran it in from there.
You finished it?
I did finish
it. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Well, I give you credit because I have never run a marathon. It's never been on my list to do. So I have great respect for anybody who runs marathons.
I never enjoyed running, but I said, you know, this is something I just want to do. I trained for, actually, I tore my plantar fascia playing racquetball. So I had to give up a year. I was going to run it in 85. But I started, after I got my orthotics and that fixed, I started running again and just continued to train and finished it. It was kind of one of the top three or five things in my life, really, when I look back at just the focus of getting that done.
But that's a big commitment.
That was amazing.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah. So anyhow, wish I would have known the pressure points to your system, but it worked out anyway.
Well, the good news is you can know it now for the rest of your life, which is even better,
because like
the older we get, the more it's really important to be able to keep your fascial system functioning and fluid. Yeah. And that's really, you know, when we get older, it's, if you think about it, what really takes people down, so to speak, is their lack of mobility,
right?
Like one thing happens, like they have an injury, or they just do something weird, like, oh, I just sprained my ankle or whatever it is. But what happens is that pattern, that adaptive pattern happens. And then without it being reset, it just keeps now adding to the next. So what happens is like, if something's not doing his job, it's going to recruit the next muscle fibers around it.
Right.
Or the next joint. So what happens is it's like dominoes in the wrong direction. So what this does is to help keep everyone. So help keep you fluid in your movement, in your range of motion, and to keep that connective tissue unstuck. So you don't have all those pain signals. That conditioning that we also get through commercials, right, through advertisements is, if you have this pain, you must have this syndrome, or you must have, right? It's like, and so the mind, of course, goes to the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
But truthfully, it can literally be that a lot of pain that people have, and I've seen it over and over and over again, is simply by unsticking the fascia and resetting the muscles so much. I mean, if you can get rid of your own sciatica, that tells you something.
Right.
Wow. I mean, it tells you that there is a whole nother level of possibility in the body if you just know how to activate it. And then it's true also for the nervous system relative to the mind stuff. So for anxiety and depression and those things, that there is no separation, right? It's one health. You can't separate your thoughts from your emotions, from your behaviors, from your body, because they feed each other. So the good news is that you can change the inertia, start one of those things better, and it can lead to the others. But it's understanding that, you know, we give people sympathy when we say they have cancer, but when somebody says they have PTSD, people are putting up the, you know, the big cross away, like the vampire cross, like, get away from me.
Yeah.
And there really is no separation. We're all of it. We are our body, our minds, and our emotions. And it's understanding that you're in there and you can direct all three of those if you know how.
I've talked to you a couple of times, and each time it just goes a little deeper in my mind, thinking this is really cool stuff. So I really hope you're able to continue to get the message out. Maybe this podcast will help do that and help you along, because this sounds really powerful.
Thank you. It's making a big difference for people, and I'm happy to help everybody who's interested and wants to find a new program that's gonna change their direction.
Right.
For their companies as well as their own lives.
So how are you doing speaking? Are there events that people can attend, or how do you get the message out through events and your speaking?
I get invited to speak.
Okay.
So I spoke at SHRM at their state conference. I spoke at the Fire Chiefs annual conference. I just spoke at the Better Business Bureau. Okay. So I do other organizations who are looking for topics.
Okay.
I'm happy to speak with them. So they're a blend of opportunities, just depending. For companies, I go in and I'll do programs. I can do an hour up to going into the full program. We usually do it as a way to bring it in,
right,
and have people get a sense of it and experience it. And then they go, yeah, we want to do this.
Right.
So I'm speaking at the Arizona Safety Council's program. It's October 17th. The word's getting out, and I'm happy to do it.
Cool. You may or may not have the answer for this, but is this is your program something that if people have a health savings account, HSA, is this something that would be eligible for payment from that if they wanted to do that?
Well, at this point, it's not.
Not? Okay.
Yeah, because it's education. So when I was a massage therapist working on people, that it certainly worked for that. But I'm working right now to, through a couple of projects that I'm doing, to work with workers' comp. So working with employees who have workers' comp and work in that program.
Okay.
The intention, of course, is to get it to be coded for that.
Right.
So that ultimately, you know, that would be the goal, to do that so that more people can utilize the insurance that they do have if it covers it. In the interim, when people see that it's a one-time investment, right, that's an investment, and then they have that information
forever,
for the rest of their life. I mean, I have on my website, on my FAQ page, I mean, a cost comparison, which you see when you do something and you do it once, and it's an investment and you have it for the rest of your life, versus something when you have to go see somebody, or, you know, you're taking drugs that are systemically affecting your body and your liver and your heart and all the list of side effects. It's you know, where do you want to put your investment in your keeping the one and only vehicle you get for this lifetime.
Right.
Keeping it healthy.
Fascinating. Is there anything that we haven't touched on that you'd love to get out today that in our conversation? Anything that I didn't ask about that you wanted to share?
Thanks. Really
covered a lot.
Yeah, we have. Honestly, I'm happy to have conversations. So if companies or, you know, HR people or CEOs or whoever is listening, if they want to know more, I'm happy just to have a conversation with them and
good.
To, because my goal with this is to learn what their objectives are. My role is to facilitate this, bring in the system and facilitate their wellness goals and objectives.
Right.
So you can reach me on my website. My name's Kathleen Gramsay, and it's GRAMZAY.com, KathleenGramsay.com. And I'm happy to meet, and then people can experience it. And then we can go from now, whether that is the mindfulness piece. The other program is called Mindful Resilience that I have, that works on the nervous system with the anxiety and overwhelm, with that piece of it, the stress-related piece. That's the mental piece,
right?
And then the physical piece is the chronic tension, which is what Kinesage really addresses. So it's talk about a full tag team body mind program.
Right.
Yeah.
So you got your website. That's the best way to get in touch with you then.
Mm-hmm. Or LinkedIn too. I'm on LinkedIn. Yeah, LinkedIn's a great way to get a hold of me. Okay. I do a lot of stuff on that, and I also post good, helpful information to people for people there.
Right. Good. Well, I know this, again, Business Solutions Radio is about providing solution options for solutions to business owners, and this is something they may not think about and on first blush, but I'm really glad I got this recorded into our under the Business Solutions Radio section of Business Radio X, and appreciate you coming on board.
Thank you. And it's been a joy.
I've
my pleasure
it for sure. Well, thank you for that, and I think that pretty much wraps it up. You gave your website. Anybody that wants to contact me, John Deiter Solutions, 602-601-2393. Or my website is johndeitersolutions.com.
I can give my phone number as well, a phone number they can reach me.
Sure, sure.
It's 602-617-9737.
Perfect. We got that on tape now.
Yes.
So I think that wraps up our show for tonight. Today. Thanks so much, Kathleen, for coming in and sharing all that. That's a lot of information, cool stuff. I love it. And I'm your host, John Deiter. Keep an eye open for future shows with Business Solutions Radio with our theme, It's Just Good Business, broadcasting from the Mac 6 studio of Phoenix Business Radio X.